shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your presence, and we know, as the Scripture said, that the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father hath surely declared you Almighty God, and even at this hour we know that the same is in reverse truth, that you today, Father God, are declaring the Son, proving he is risen from the dead, making intercession for us. And the very same ministry that proved who he was and who you were 2,000 years ago is doing the same today. And we rejoice in that, Lord, knowing the truth as it has not been known for 2,000 years. We thank you for it. May we not miss any of the richness of the depth which is in you and in the Son, through the revealed Word by the Holy Spirit, moving amongst us and within us at this time, lest we then would miss the first resurrection and the rapture, which we know is guaranteed to us in this hour according to your Word, and not according to any covenant we have made or any thoughts we have thought, but according to your sovereignty, of which we believe we are a part, and thank you for it. Bless us therefore in this service, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, just before we begin to go into the, what is this, number six? Seven, number seven. I just want you to know this, that we're talking about a board. I want you to know that is must be your board, not mine. I have my board with the Grace Gospel Ministries, not that I shun any part of the Grace Gospel Church, but this must be someone you particularly want. You may also look to the eye of who you'd like to call and call upon and help at times. And it's very possible that in the interim period that there may even be some of these brethren could even leave their jobs for a week or two, and the church would pay them a salary on that particular basis. But I want you to be very satisfied now with your choices, because I will be certainly satisfied on the grounds that I'm not preaching up somewhere in Timbuktu. I'm here, and I don't mean to alienate us that far, but I just want you to know something that you have every right to come into, and you shall. Now, leadership number seven here. When we began to teach on this message, we found Brother Branham setting forth that this hour in which we are living is an hour of great change, even to the extent that there is a radical change in its course that could be compared to a bricklayer coming to a corner and turning that corner which had not been previously turned, and would therefore demand a very special revelation or ability, some empowerment, some authority, even as we find over here in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, where Paul is speaking concerning God's commandments at a very special hour of building a worship center and a worshipful people going into the millennium, which is a very minor type of what we're looking at now, going into the millennium as they were going into the promised land of Canaan. All right. It says here, verses 3 to 5 and 8, "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, therefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished to God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith God, thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." Now that was merely a shadow of what we're looking at today. And yet you will notice that there was no worship, and there was nothing that God would possibly agree to, except it was made actually according to that pattern in the mountain. Now, with that in mind, we turn to Romans, the 12th chapter, and begin at verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mountain that might be touched, and that burnt with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Certainly not. You're coming to the first time in 2,000 years of utter, complete non-confusion, of absolute, superb, perfect light in which there is no error, but it is complete. As Brother Branham said in 1 Corinthians 13, what does it mean when it says that which is perfect is come? And he said, who is perfect but God? And what is God but his own word? And by his grace we have the perfect revelation of the word of this hour. And the word perfect means completely finished. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. It's like a perfect bowling ball that is 100% round and 100% finished with the polyurethane upon it, and one little scratch, it's gone. No longer perfect. But, yay, can we get by? Oh, my God, what's one little scratch going to do when you roll the ball? You are not playing billiards. You're dealing with God. So my illustrations must be perfect with the word. All right, listen. And it says here, for they could not endure that which was commanded. There's no commandment at this hour. It's all grace. Grace that comes by faith. And faith is a revelation, so you know. If you are one with the vindicated revelation, you are partakers of his grace. And you've entered into that perfect worship. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight. So terrible was the sight, Brother Branham said, God came wooing. Came to woo a bride. Even as Eliezer produced the wonderful gifts that Isaac had. Those gifts handed down from his father, for which he had not worked, but he fell heir to. Wooing a bride. Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But he said, you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, who is our mother, according to Galatians, and to an innumerable company of messengers, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, of course, in the last book of life. And to God, the judge of all. Never forget, the judge is standing here. And who is the judge? God. Yes, I believe the Lamb. Is you believe wrong? There was a meeting up in Canada, and the question came, who came down? They said, the Lamb. Well, the Lamb didn't come down. Then who came down? Well, we really don't know. Well, where is the Lamb? One person says he's comatose. Another one had, believing this message, had the audacity to stand up and say, oh no, I believe what happened to the body, it went back to the dust. You see where my battle is all the time? Oh, let's have a comatose Jesus. I thought he was my intercessor to keep me in, and without him I cannot be kept in, I'm gone. Because he can only look through that blood. He's looking at me, but if he can't look at me, so I go to court and I've got an attorney, and he's snoring. Man, what a great representative I have in court. There is an attorney, an intercessor, even now on the Father's throne, who stands between you and me and God. Now, God the judge. Of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator. We've got God and Jesus. God and Jesus aren't the same person. I'm sorry, we are not oneness. This is the only begotten Son of God, which you don't even come near. And And except for him being the outraying and the complete substance of God himself, being genetically, generically, essentially, intrinsically, a portion of God in the form. So Brother Branham called him Logos, and you can't be Logos unless part of you is actually the reality. And it's there. Never talk about God in Logos unless God, some part is there. So therefore we're looking at this. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, through the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Who is speaking? The blood of God is speaking. Who is the blood of God? Jesus, the man who had a pre-existence, who screamed unto God, restore to me the glory I had. And he said, not only that, but greater. The Brother Branham said, we came exactly like him, except for one thing, we bypassed our theophonic or word body or spirit body. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning, what Branham said? Because the preachers out there aren't getting it. What do you want? Donuts from the donut house? They don't even give them that, they give them vomit. They don't even give them decayed substance. Where do you hear of a comatose Jesus or Jesus went back to the dust? I'd like to know, have some answers. They haven't got an answer. The only thing they say, well, you see, it's veiled spirit. So a certain friend of mine, as he said, all right, he said, how many spirits are they? Two, yes. Spirit of truth and spirit of error. How come Lee Vale has the truth? He's got the wrong spirit. The same old story is hop up and down and dance and sing and make everybody think you're walking in love. And that is a lie this morning. You get that flat. Unless you're full of the Holy Ghost, by the word of Almighty God, you will not have the love of God shed abroad in your heart that you can extend to somebody else. I'll get this flat. I'm not giving you mincemeat and corruption. I'm giving you the truth. This is just a preamble to Brother Branham's sermon. You see what I got out of his sermons? All right, for if they escape not him that refuse to speak on earth, much more shall they not escape if we turn away from him. It doesn't say speak, though that's true. From heaven. Now, who came down from heaven? God. Jehovah Elohim, Rima Logos, not the lamb, comatose lamb, no lamb. What are they talking about? That's as stupid as when the Jews tried to say they stole Jesus' body and cut it up in pieces and ate it. That's as stupid as the Catholics say a little mumbo-jumbo turns blood and wine and bread into the body and blood, and you eat it and drink it. Have you heard such hogwash? Pagans! Not because I raise my voice, but it's the truth. Now, if we turn away from him that is from heaven, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of command, the authoritative voice. And of that little ark that signified a temple had to be 100% according to the pattern of the word, which was pre-existent, then don't think for 1 minute that you and I will be outside of that pattern, for we are words which was from the beginning and ever walked in there. You won't even be carried in there. And I'm speaking to you in terms of myself, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And how's it going to be done? By speaking. All right. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Once more, signifies removing those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, there is a separation. Now, Brother Branham said, we are the all things of God. And where is the shaking? The shaking is by the word, the separating of the bride from the non-bride. Matthew 24, one taken, one left. Oh, yeah, a certain preacher didn't believe that. He said, that's Levi talking. Didn't know that was in the sermon Brother Branham preached on the future home of the earthly bride and the heavenly bridegroom, where he said Matthew 24 was the separating by the word. And then he said in the book of Luke, chapter 17, that separation was the rapture itself. Now Brother Branham said it. Levi just quoted it. But the man left. That's just Levi. He said it wasn't William Branham. I wonder if he apologized to his congregation. All right. The bride can't be shaken. You know, she's built on the rock of Revelation. And the Bible said the man that builds his house upon the solid rock, the winds come and the floods descend. And there was a strong storm blew against that house and couldn't uproot it, built upon a rock. But another man built his upon sand. And you know what sand is? Sand is disintegrated rock. It's the word of which the life has gone out, the cement, the binding. There's nothing there anymore. It's full of wiggle worms. It was a word that was once for a time. And we'll get into that very shortly if God gives us time this morning. Oh, yeah. We're receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. What kingdom? God's own kingdom built upon His own word. God's own people, His own word. And New Jerusalem, His own word, church. All solid rock. Because if the first one was of the substance of God, and then received the glorified body down here, and He's in the midst of His brothers and sisters, they're called brethren, then we are of the same substance in our own, in the same glorified form in the allotment, in the place where God puts each one of us. Now it says, let us have grace. Well, the point is this. Is he talking about God's grace or our grace? He's talking now in terms of our grace because this has been extended to us. Now, where is our grace we boast in as though we have the grace of God? If we don't have the grace to acquiesce to a vindicated ministry, there is a picture of the pillar of fire, which is the Shekinah glory, which is the light attendant upon Almighty God Himself in His presence. It is not God, but God is there behind it. And Brother Branham categorically said that was a picture of God. People wonder why we got it there. There, you got your answer right now. Because that's the truth. Now, he says here, let us have grace. Let us be cooperative. Let us humble our thinking in ourselves and come into this. See? That we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, it says this here, you cannot, absolutely cannot serve God and reverence and worship Him outside of this speaking at this time, whatever that time is that He speaks from heaven. There it is right there. There it is right there. Oh, that's in disrepute. A man that couldn't understand and drugs and divorced his wife and everything. But they don't know that Brother Branham told me about the time that really happened. And I try to tell people, they won't listen. No, Lee Bale's just a liar. He's off the word. He's got a devil, yeah. Oh, well, he gets truth, but that's intellectual. How come I hear him quoting me? A guy tried to preach the judge, they tell me it's the most pitiful thing you ever heard of. Is this pitiful this morning? Don't try to flatter me. I'm not interested in flattery. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is this pitiful? No, it's not pitiful. It's the truth. The judge standeth at the door. God is the righteous judge. Even Jesus Christ had to be acceptable to Him. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, you say, well, he's the one. Oh, shut up for God's sake. For your own sake. Don't pitter-patter around. Brother Branham said the baptism of Jesus was the washing of the sacrifice. Acceptable unto God, the Bible says it. Peter says this is all through the word acceptable. If he had not been accepted, we would be in sin today. And we would have to be annihilated. Or the best thing we could possibly hope would be, what will we believe in? I'll tell you what, reincarnation. Until we went through some kind of a series without hope. And the last hope would be what? A present annihilation. Or maybe some ascended master hogwash. That's the devil. I hope you follow me. I've talked enough about these things. Now listen. Without this you cannot. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. Now you sit here this morning and you tell me after 10 more solid years or 12 solid years I've preached to you that your mind cannot dart back and forth in the scripture to Malachi, cannot go to 2 Thessalonians, cannot go to 1 Corinthians, cannot go here, cannot go there. You mean you sit here this morning? Under my ministry all these years, your minds cannot pick these things right now. Why have I been teaching all these years then? I'm not trying to be rough on you. I'm just trying to get you a little prick in there somewhere. Hey, you don't come here to just sit here and listen. And I waste my time. There's people out there getting it. You bet they are. Young men that stand right up and say something's wrong somewhere. Yeah, thank God for these people. So here's what we're looking at. And what I bring to your attention, when we began to teach on this message, we found Brother Branham setting forth that this hour in which we are living is an hour of great change, even to the extent that there is a radical change in its course. The course of the church, that is. And the ministry of the word. That could be compared to a bricklayer coming to a corner and turning the corner which had not previously been turned. See? Thereby demanding a very special revelation, even as it was back in the time of the Hebrew exit. He said it was easy to lay the bricks in a straight line, but it was difficult to turn a corner and proceed with the building of the house, or even a wall, unless one was sufficiently skilled. Now, where did they get their skill to build the tabernacle? Where did they get their skill to know what to do? Where did they get the skill to worship God? Where did they get the skill to reverence God? Where did they get the skill to worship, to serve Him? Only by the Word. So if someone is not sufficiently skilled, what happens? Now we know for a fact that he was talking about the church coming up from the dark ages through Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. It was just brick by brick in a straight line. But as justification gave way to sanctification, sanctification gave way to the baptism gave way to the baptizer. God himself. Jehovah Elohim. As it was in the days of the young ruler who had to confront God himself in human flesh, so it is today. Headship has returned. Jehovah Elohim, Rima Logos, is here even as he was with Paul in Alpha Ephesus, where Paul speaks himself as the wise master builder, laying a foundation, telling you to be careful of how they built thereon. Because anybody can build, anybody can worship, anybody can serve, but is God in it? See, that's the thing this morning I want to get across to all of us. The point is, we are in a state of elation that no other church ever knew. We're in the presence of God for a rapture. We are accepted. We know how we're known. We understand our identification. All of these things are ours. We are that peculiar people unto Almighty God. Not what they had before. It's what we have now, which is so particular and wonderful. We are now not a matter of what is built. It is how it is built, because what has always been there, but it's always been out of context. It's always been misunderstood. It's always been misconceived and misperceived. But now perfection has come. We've come to Omega, the Alpha. We are now back to Ephesus. A small corner of Laodicea gives way to Ephesus, the light. Paul, the master builder, laying a foundation. And now we are at the Omega, where another master builder, even William Branham, was used for the capstone ministry. The literal descent of Jesus Christ to meet him in flesh, to meet the rest in flesh. This is what that voice from heaven did. So, even William Branham was used for the capstone ministry and return of the capstone himself. So, the fitting of stone on stone, there has to be a perfection. You can't even put a razor blade in the Great Pyramid. Nobody can understand it. Brother Branham not only uses the illustration of a building, as did Paul in 1 Corinthians and Ephesus, you can read it for yourself, chapter 3 and 4 and 5, but he turns to nature, as did John the Baptist in reference to this hour. The planted wheat has come up all the way to where the original seed planted for a harvest crop, that one seed planted by itself, has gone through three stages of stalk, pollen, and chaff, and now the wheat appears, and the chaff pulls away. Okay, let's get some scripture. Colossians. And we're looking at the third chapter, and we're going to go verses 1 to 4. And it says, If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Now, just a minute, let me look at this. And let's just look at this and see how you can get your mind so confused. The first three verses you read, and you would automatically say to yourself, and I don't blame us, all right, I go through these steps here, and then I come to this step. And the step is, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we also shall appear with him in glory. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You don't even have to go through those first three steps when Christ is going to appear. The point is, are you going to appear with him at the time he appears? That's the point. And if you've got your mind all prepared that this is something the church can do, that the church does and brings on this, you are wrong. Because he's going to come regardless. And if there's no church, you better believe, as a capstone, he will see that there is a church. This is just what you and I go through in our active faith, because we do have the passive faith. We do have the revelation. If you then be risen with Christ, tell me, what can you do about that? Did you do it? Did you seek it? Did you bargain? Did you curse? Did you do something that brought it? No. If you be risen, it's only because God did it. Now, it doesn't only say that, but it says, you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. All right, that's fine. Is he sitting on the right hand of God? Not at this point. He's on the throne of God, and God is down here, though still the right hand of God. All right. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So we're looking right to the mercy seat. We're looking right to everything, not just in the type, but in reality. And this comes down to the pattern of the heavenlies, and the one from the heavenly speaking, you and I better believe, unless the time when Christ appears, there is no way we're going to have this unless the one from heaven appears. The one from heaven does the speaking, because you can't separate an event within an event and say, okay, I'll put this part over here, I'll put this part over there, and I'll put that over there. You can't do it. You put it all together. So when you talk of that appearing, everything that's in there, I don't care where it is, what scripture you pick, it's got to come together at that time, as I've said time after time. When you see the word burning, it's only at the last phase that the word burning comes in. You can't put it miles down the road, you can't put it miles back. It's right at this particular time in this hour that Elijah appears on the scene that the burning must come. That's why all those old duffers are dying off and the young ones are coming up who never heard anything but this message, and they'll be the ones standing on their feet going in. You better watch and see. He said, Brother Bill, couldn't you be Caleb or Joshua? Whoever said I was. He didn't hear me say it and didn't hear Brother Branham say it. I'm looking to what Brother Branham said. The young ones will go in. Now when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then will appear also. Isn't that exactly what 2 Thessalonians said? Then why try to change it? Oh, I'll pluck this up and put it here. And I'll pluck this and put it there. You see, that's the whole thing that Brother Branham was trying to teach. The scripture for the hour. And if we know one scripture pertaining to this hour, then every scripture that is part of it in that time frame blends in one, and you're getting the composite picture. See? Christ appearing, the great appearing, is no rapture, brother, sister, no way, no way, shape. Now, you can read on this further, and you'll find more scripture in there, but looking at. But now I want to go what I told you a minute ago. 2 Thessalonians. And that's that first chapter, where it tells you right in here, you are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall reveal him with his mighty messengers. In verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all that believe, because our testimony among you believed in that day. Now, what was the voice from heaven? The voice from heaven had to be identical to what Paul preached. Amen. So therefore, there is a repeat. Who came down to Paul? The Lamb, forget it. Who came down? Jehovah Elohim came down. The one who said, and his name was called Jesus, I came in my Father's name. So now you got two Jesuses. Which one are you talking about? The one that left the flesh, who was in his Father's name, and the Father who had his own name that lent it to his Son and still got it. That one left the flesh and went back to the pillar of fire, and there it is. Only God is Messiah. Why? Because it was God in Jesus the Christ reconciling the world. It wasn't Jesus the Christ. It was God. And that rock that followed them, that cloud, was Elohim Jehovah. Or Jehovah Elohim. You can't change it. That the Jesus of the new was a Jehovah of the old. And we're talking about God. The one who had a son. But we're talking about him before he had a son. Before there was a breath of air, one atom, as Brother Branham said. Now it tells you right here. Now we read it to you. Now as we have read it. At this end time here. We are looking at the time of the appearing. The chaff pulls away from the wheat. Now, in order to make this come to where I want it to come, and I'm not going to mess with Scripture, I'm going to read it. We're going to go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Now listen, if they couldn't recognize the Son of God, ain't going to recognize sons of God. Why? Because it's not incumbent upon us. You understand what I mean? Vindication. Beloved, now are we the sons of God in spite of it? And it hath not appeared what we shall be. We know when he shall appear, we'll be like him, we shall see him as he is. Now that tells you right there that as his appearing, you're going to see him as he is. And remember now, as Jesus led forth God exegetically, which is to declare by words, God has to do the same thing for him. For he who said, he that sees me sees the Father, you cannot see the Father without seeing that Son. Didn't say God seeing himself, I said seeing the Son. I'm not Jesus only, you see. And as appearing, we shall see him as he is. What's his appearing? God's own appearing. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to see him face to face. How do you see him face to face? Through the prophet. God's word to Moses was in Numbers 12. He said, I, the Lord, your God, he said, will give visions and dreams to prophets. He said, and these signs and wonders, my name. But he said, Moses is different. I'm going to go him face to face. And Paul was face to face, and William Branham was face to face. And when that man, the prophet, is face to face, then we are face to face. Why? Because it's representation. Don't let God look at us and we look at God. You do the looking. God does the looking. You come back. That way we look, God looks. Amen? It's just the truth. People can do what they want, you see. Now, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, for sin's the transgression of the law. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man despise. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. And right down the line it tells you, we've been this dozens of times. Now, let's just take a look at this. What does the word sin mean? It means to miss the mark. Sin means to miss the mark. Now, okay, what was the sin in the Garden of Eden? So, well, what it was, Eve, she went and fooled with the devil and through the serpent and had coitus and brought forth Cain, and she got Adam going with her and brought forth Abel, and we got this in the world. That sounds very good, but actually, what is sin? Brother Brad said it's unbelief. That's very good. What is unbelief? Well, if faith is receiving a revelation, then, of course, unbelief is rejecting a revelation. Now, what is a revelation all about? Substance. Substance. You follow me? Something that is there, and you cannot control it. It's out of control entirely. And in the control of Almighty God, and it needs a special revelation, and you, by the grace extended, believe and take, and therefore you are now a part of substance. So the Bible tells us that Adam lost substance. He fell short of the mark. And he ran screaming to the tree of life. Didn't do him any good at that time, so now there's an interruption. You follow me? So, okay. Sin is to miss the mark so as to not share the prize. See? It comes from the word, well, I guess it's meros. Sin is the negative part of it. And this word means a division or a share, a piece, P-I-E-C-E. Or portion. And implies respect. You thinking? I ask you a question. Who was it that didn't have respect? No, that's good, but it's not that feller. Huh? The one that didn't have respect? How do you spell that? No, I'm talking about who didn't have respect, though. God has respect, but this man didn't have respect. You can't remember? Huh? Who? Balaam. Well, no, it wasn't Balaam. Balaam didn't have respect, that's for sure. Who didn't have respect? Now, think straight. The man I'm looking at is Esau. He's the major one, and there's others like him. They did not have respect. So therefore, what we are looking at, and you're right when you said Cain, you go all the way back to the definitive that comes from Esau. He did not have respect for that, for the the promise, for the inheritance to the firstborn. And that's exactly what Eve did not have. And that's exactly what Adam did not have. And that's exactly what people do not have. And without having that, you are in sin. But the minute you come to the place of that respect, which means you receive the revelation exactly as God gave it, to the intent of the substance which you are to receive from God, through God by His Word, and delineated and clearly described in His Word, by the prophets, that's the time you don't have sin. That's the time that you don't fall short of your portion. That's the time you don't fall short of the division or your share or your peace. P-I-E-C-E. Now let's go to the book of Philippians. The third chapter. In the third chapter, and we could read it all, Paul saying that he rejoiced and the dogs are without. He didn't trust his flesh. He gave everything away. What things he counted gain were gained to him at that time, he counted a loss for Christ. And he said, doubtless, I, verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. Now listen, that was the time of the confrontation. The one that came down from heaven to give the revelation, which was Elohim Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, Rima Logos. Right? All right. Now that knowledge was given to him. And from that time, he counted everything lost and manure. Then what will we be like in his presence through William Branham? Everything we ever believed is lost. Everything we banked on is manure. Say, Brother Dale, what about justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, and gifts? The light has passed out of it. Oh, I really don't think so. I really don't believe that. You see, you're missing what Brother Branham's teaching. He said the light went through the stalk. It went through the pollen. It went into the chaff which protected and harbored the wheat for the time being. And at the right time, the chaff pulled away so the seed could lie in the sun and ripen. Now, either Brother Branham lied, he was full of hooey, he didn't know what he's talking about, he was just a crock or something or other, or he was a prophet of God. Now, make up your mind. Now, see, I've turned the corner. I'm not on the fence. If I'm going to miss heaven, even miss the lake of fire by 40 miles, I'm so wrong, I can't change. Say, Brother Bell, where does that leave you? It leaves me dead. I'm a dead bird. Without emotion. Without sensation. I'm paralyzed, but I'm thinking. And my thinking feeds down here. All right, let's keep reading. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, something I've contributed, something I've done, something I thought, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Doesn't even say his faith in Christ, it's the faith of Christ. It's what Jesus accomplished for him, and he's heir to by reason of accomplishment. Jesus only had heir to one thing, which was the name of God, and that word, and he didn't even come heir to the word, except in the sense he was heir to the word that he could fulfill. Because he was that word. All the law and the prophets, everything else. And that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of faith by God, that I may know him. Now listen. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, brother, now he has to throw that in there, but that's an interpolation. That goes with the Romans, the 8th chapter. That I may know him and the power of the resurrection. Next verse. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Watch those interpolations. I don't care how much Paul suffered. if he wasn't sealed and full of the Holy Ghost. He could give his body to be burned and he'd still go to hell. So let's not get any grand ideas here. You know, there are people get the grand ideas here. A little girl said to me one day, well, I'm going to this new church now, Brother Dale, and I'm learning to pray and this and that. Even the heathen do that. Turn down the message and learn to pray. Fine. Great. Turn your ear away from hearing the word of God. He turns his ear away from hearing your mouth. I'm not trying to run anybody. I'm trying to show you something here. You think this bolt of lightning didn't knock the socks off of my feet? I got news for you. It killed me. Hallelujah. I'm wanting to die anyway. Not as though I'd already changed, either were already perfect, but I follow after that my I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something right there. You miss that, it'll let you know that you have sin in your life, that you are a sinner. Because this man says, I don't want to be a sinner. I want to share in the prize that's there. I don't want to fall short. Now here we're given the opportunity by grace not to fall short. Little bride, you didn't even do it. Standing by amazing grace. Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You got to come to the revealed word. That's all he's telling you flat. Nevertheless, run to we have already changed. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now he said, there's that aren't going to go on to this. He said, you just walk by your old rule, whatever you are. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Now what's he marked them? Here's a mark. And I'm going to tell you something. One mark is the Holy Ghost sealing. The other is the Antichrist mark. Mark of the beast, you already got her. I'm not stretching these things. Come on, it can't be both ways. See, you've always got your twins. See? Son of God, meaning spirit. Spirit of hell. Son of perdition. Son of man. See? Now, for many walk of whom I've told you often, now tell you weeping, they have become the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and God is their belly, and their glory their shame, and they mind earthly things. What does that tell you right there? It tells you this is a precondition of the flood, where they become brute beast animals, and it's nothing but food and sex. If you don't think it is, look how these idiots here walk on the street. These grungy guys. Anybody in this church, you wear grunge clothes, don't come in that door. I'll have you thrown out. Your earrings, your hair, all of you better be circumspect around here, because it's too late. We're not going to fool with you. Go someplace else with your evil spirit. Our ladies aren't stupid around. I can tell you that. They dress the way they should dress. I like it. Real terrible cold weather, you put your long skirts right down your ankles. Let them even dust the floor. Fine, it saves the sweeper. No problem. Springtime come, take them off. Put the right clothes on for springtime. You people here, you're not stupid. Of course, brains don't mean everything, but you know this church has 21 university degrees in it. Which out of about 54 adults is about the highest rate maybe any church in America almost, except the weirdos out there. And I don't see those men with degrees coming in here, earrings and goofy haircuts and everything else. I can't stand it. If you voted for it, I'd walk out, just tell you flat. Forget, you ain't going to have a leave in that crud. My eyeballs spin, my blood rises to my head. When I see that stuff on the street and under my breath, and sometimes out loud, I'm saying some very, very nasty things. For their behavior is in heaven. It says, our behavior is in heaven, from whence we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at what time? The time of the resurrection. So here I'm trying to show you all these things, the separating of the chaff according to the Word of God, and sin is missing that mark, and today the mark is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which means the first resurrection. Now listen, if the first resurrection's there, there's got to be a revelation of it. Which revelation is the delineation of the true substance, which true substance is resurrection, the first. Now we're just like him. And we get caught up to where he is. And from that time we are never without him. You think that God gave a woman a man that he'd run around the country selling what? Insurance policies and things? I'm not saying it couldn't be done. But you can't find that in the Old Testament. In fact, the first year a man and woman got married, he had a whole year honeymoon. Boy, that's the greatest law I ever heard in my life. You know what the honeymoon is? It's the money hoon. We didn't have any money hoon, so he had no honeymoon. Never had, never will. Man's supposed to be with a woman. From the wedding supper there on, he only makes one little minor incursion, and that's to go to Israel. To appear. Like Joseph leading the Gentile bride in the chapel, in the palace. How long? Not very long. Then right back. Forever and ever. Okay. Thus, we are no longer in a straight line. We are no longer in a straight line. If we were, the Lutherans, Methodists, and Pentecostals, and those under the Catholics and the other ages, those builders could produce the capstone and then take us to the wedding supper. Not so. This is no longer a church age. Church, church, church. It is a bride age within the last church age. For the church has pulled away. That's a shock. Notice what the church age have produced. They produced Revelation 3:14 to 21, Laodicean church. They produced Matthew 23:31, the bunch of Pentecostal false prophets with signs and wonders based on Matthew 7, never were known of God. The more fully delineated by Paul, then this what I'm saying is more fully delineated by Paul, in 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 1 to 14, 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. And how are you gathered? You're gathered by the Word. I don't care what anybody else tells you. Well, I was gathered by Jesus. Well, fine, you're going to hell. I want to tell you flat, you're going to hell. Because you deny a vindicated prophet who said the message gathers you. Oh, we vindicated prophet. Well, beat him. Don't waste my time. Don't come around here and say, Bill's got a rotten spirit. I've got the right spirit. I got the spirit of the one who says, out! I never knew you. So don't try to tell me I'm going to hug you and kiss you. Huh? Oh, come on. I'm supposed to have more love than God now, am I? I always said, I can't stand you. Out God's God. Out Jesus is Jesus. Out Word's the Word. Out Holy Ghost the Holy Ghost. He's out. Now, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither as by letter, spirit, or word, nor as letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, he's telling you this is the end time. So anybody comes and said, well, bless God, this is the word of Paul. This is what Paul said. This is what Paul preached. I've got it. And he hasn't got the pillar of fire? Forget it. Forget it. Because you got to hear the one from heaven. And you can't hear from Paul. That's spiritism. Huh? Come on. Are you following me? I hope so. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now the interpolation says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposes and exalts himself while all is called God or is worship. So he is God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself he is God. Now that's the Pope, because Brother Branham said he's the one that does it. Remember not when I was with you, I told you these things. Now he tells you, when I was with you, I told you these things. So when the day comes when this happens, you remember what I told you. Right?
Amen.
So this word is for our hour, if it's Paul's word. But Paul's word meant corruption. The bride was already seduced. Now we got to have a virgin. Because remember, Paul, he espoused a virgin. And if Jesus is going to come back and say, Brother Paul, my younger brother, didn't you espouse me a virgin? Yes, but she mucked up. Go on her. Now, Paul could only espouse a virgin to Jesus the same as Eliezer did on the word of the Father. So, believe me, he's going to have a virgin of the word. And she's got to be blood related. Not just because of the kinsman redeemer, although that is true, very true, it's because they have to have the same genes from the same source. So now we got the picture. Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. He's not revealed yet, but this is going to come. For the mystery of iniquity is already working, as it was at the time of Jesus, and in my time, right down the road, but at the end, the seed here will ripen over here. There'll be many antichrists, lots of false prophets, lots of going on. Don't ever doubt it. And at that time, the revelation will be unraveled, and you watch what happens. And the only way the full exposure and the full manifestation with the full results of the ripening. Now there's got to be two ripenings. False wheat, true wheat. True wheat has Christ's head come, rapture. The other half, the Antichrist come, Satan's church, right? Fully manifest in flesh. Now, until the Holy Spirit taken out of the way and the bride goes with him, then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord is going to come back and consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his presence. Even him whose working is after Satan, the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, he will institute a worship that is so close. All but the elect would be deceived. It's going to be pretty raw by that time, though. Take over, 100%. Now watch. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, what was the love of the truth? The same witness that Paul had, genuinely revealed by vindication to him, and now by the same voice from heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we got the same word. The same spirit that gave it reveals it. Now watch. They turned down the love of the truth. Now listen. That alone can save them. Then I ask, where's the blood? Where's the man in the mercy seat? Tell me about it. It tells you right here. You turned down Paul's gospel by which the world is judged by Christ Jesus. You're gone. So the world has already been judged. Now, come on. You see, you don't want to put that in the past tense. You're looking for the tribulation. Don't be silly. Don't be silly. The separation has occurred. The word is in effect. Is there any more coming in? I don't know. All I know is the time that God came to Paul, the Holy Spirit was given to a lot of people who were seen. But at that time of Paul, only Paul received the revelation. And at this hour, the same with Brother Branham, Alpha being Omega, Omega being Alpha. There could be people right now receiving the Holy Ghost. I don't know. But the judge divides by the word. Because he is the word. Now, for this strong God sends them strong delusion. They should believe thee lie. You're not going to die. That they all might be damned. Judged, condemned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Their form of worship, three gods, hogwash. They say there's a trinity, but it's one. You ever heard such stupidity? Three Bibles, but it's one. Or three books. Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, and Greg Sarant. Merciful heaven. But we're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, always, beloved the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth. That word "and" in there shouldn't be there as a conjunction. It has to be a preposition, because there's no way the Spirit will sanctify you apart from the Word, and there's no way the Word sanctifies you apart from the Spirit. Because the Word is Spirit and life. Wherefore, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It did it back there. It's doing it now. Now, okay. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1-9. Know this also, the last days perilous times shall come. Even men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, untangled and holy, without natural affection. There's your homosexual, truth breakers, false accused, incontinent. There's a bunch again. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having former godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, they deny the very fact we've got a vindicated message. No, they don't believe that. For of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead silly women laden captive, silly women laden with sins. That's the churches. Led away divers, lust ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do they also resist the truth. That's your Pentecostals. What do you think of that? Men of corrupt minds, reprobate. You know what reprobate is? Servancy. They're reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all, which is they have the folly. It's just in folly. They'll be sitting here in the great tribulation. You can go to 2 Peter 2, 1 to 21 and Jude 1 to 19. I haven't got time to read it. As well as Revelation 13, 18 to 11, which 13, 11 to 18 fully is described in the two chapters of Revelation 18 and 19. Now, can you see an Ephesian bride in all this? Ha! You can't. Unless the secret is there. The separation by the Word. There's only a few who believe the gospel of Paul. As Brother Branham behind the curtain at time, I preached what Paul preached. Said, we're depending on that. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Those people behind the curtain at time didn't know that before they got there. I bet you a hole in the donut they didn't know that. But they sure found out. Let's not be too late. Now, we can quickly go, and we're not going to page 20, paragraph 138. Come Wednesday, if I'm here, which I more than likely will be, I'll read my notes over again and start right in. But this often happens. And you should be here Wednesday night because I'm going to show you something. I'll ask every one of you to tell me what it is. Yeah, we'll see if you know. Now, you're nice, sweet people. You've got the right spirit. Lebel doesn't have the right spirit. Lebel's got a devil. He's mean, he's nasty, he's got a devil. Anything he got is perfect head knowledge. Now, you've got the Holy Ghost, you're sweet, you're nice, no problem. So let's see if you know. Then we've got to go to God and say, Lord, you shouldn't do that with Lebel because he must have a devil. Now, I'm being wittily, sarcastic, ironic, and dirty, and mean. And you love me just the same. Because you know I can't get this across unless I bring it right down where the knife is not a sharp blade, but is serrated, like using a bread knife to operate. Whoever killed Mrs. Simpson and her boyfriend did not use a bread knife. They used a stiletto. I do not use stilettos. I'm sorry for you, but that's the truth. I use a bread knife. Because you see, I'm telling you the truth. And I know I'm telling you the truth. Because I can take Brother Branham right back to every word in the Bible. I'm not boasting. Not at all. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here. You think I'd be here talking to you and going on tape around the world and people coming to say, Brother Vail, you're right, and their lives being changed? If I was wrong, and I want all their souls on my soul, you've got to be kidding. I'd be out of here, eat, drink, and be merry, because we're all going to be dead, except I got one problem. I'm too old, eat, drink, and be merry. I get indigestion, I get drunk in a hurry. What good would it do? And I never did like those things anyway. I never did like those things. Okay, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your fellowship around the word with us this morning, knowing, O God, that we have a fabulous, tremendous message which makes every cell in our body reverberate. Lord, there are times when every cell in my body reverberates with tiredness and just death entering in and time going by. But, oh God, when this comes, the light of life and the revelation, the stimulation, all of these things, Lord, the oil and the wine poured in, don't have a tired ounce in my body, Lord. It's just as though going on forever, and we know it's going to stop somewhere. But how we praise you for the life and the light that's in the Word, for the truth that lies in the Word, we know we're fortified beyond a shadow of a doubt. We're not with shadows any longer, with substance, O God. Substance, 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 the real substance. Now faith is the substance, the substanting, the giving of substance. Absolutely every word coming not into only revelation clear before our eyes, but forming and transforming these very lives, word bodies, to complete word, complete life word beyond, really, really known then as sons of God in the adoption. We thank you for it, Lord. And again, we say if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And like Brother Branham, may we say truthfully. I hope we can be truthful. I know I'm not really truthful all the time. But I want to be truthful concerning this. Help me, Lord, to say with the prophet, if I'm not bride, we're not bride. There's a bride out there somewhere. And by your grace, we won't stand in her way. No, we just turn around, walk off. Leave everything alone. Don't try to fool around. Don't try to hinder. Don't try to miss. Just stand back. Lord, I don't believe that we're missing something that puts us out. I don't believe we're in sin, missing the mark. I don't believe we're falling short. I believe we're in our apportionment right today, the right division of the word. All of these things, Lord, are ours. There's somebody's. And the prophet told us to believe that there's 150 in one room. Each one believes he's going, and that's not impossible. No, it's not impossible, because he said that even if 10 people all got together in one place with one mind, they'd all go. So we're not going to limit anything. We're just going to rely upon your word, Lord, and your affection, your grace, your love, and all these things. There's just one thing we ask you. Don't let us forget what we heard this morning. The only way we know we're getting more and more filled with the Holy Ghost, coming right to the full measure. Don't let anyone miss it. I pray, and I pray especially for myself, Lord, as each one here must do that. Don't let us miss one word. Thereby all the fruit coming forth, all gifts, if there be anything there, every single thing coming forth now, manifest in this word as we turn right into that image for which we were made, go into the millennium, further sanctification, right on down, more, 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 upward, upward. Now, heal the sick amongst us, Lord. Bless us continually. May the people have a mind to pray this afternoon as never before, knowing that things lie ahead. Whether they ever come to pass or not doesn't mean too much difference. It means, Lord, that we're setting our sails. We're entering into the waters of the future the best we can by the Holy Spirit and the Word, with each other, Father, praying diligently, believing, and actually believing to the extent of knowing that you are going to move and help us, Lord, every way, shape, and form, and we're ready for it all. Unto thee we give honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.